Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we learn the halachas that relate to Muktzah on Yom Tov. We're going to look at two concepts. Number one is the difference between Muktzah on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. And number two, the concept of Nolad, something which comes into being on Yom Tov. Let's start at the very beginning. So concept number one is the difference between Muktzah on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. Is Muktzah not allowed on Yom Tov in the same way as it's not allowed on Shabbos? The answer is yes. Muktzah applies equally on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. So Muktzah is forbidden both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. Are there any things which are more muktzah, more prohibited on Yom Tov than they are on Shabbos? The answer is yes. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch relates that there are some authorities who say that certain items which are purposely excluded from use or because of filth, like they're disgusting, may not be handled on Yom Tov, even though there's more flexibility for their movement on Shabbos. What's an example of this? The example he gives is, let's say, large groups of fruit that were set aside for sale. On Yom Tov, warehouse of fruit may not be moved. The fruit may not be moved on Yom Tov, whereas that designation is not a concern on Shabbos as much. But a person would need to actually dedicate and make those fruit usable, saying these fruit that I will eat on Yom Tov before Yom Tov starts, and then want to be able to do this. If a person sells fruit gradually, not by the case or by the container, then this is not a problem. There's no concern of muktzah. Is there anything which is less muktzah on Yom Tov than it is on Shabbos when it comes to muktzah? The answer is yes. If you have an item which is used on Yom Tov which cannot be used on Shabbos, then it's not going to be muktzah on Yom Tov. What's an example of this? A very simple example is a frying pan. On Shabbos is a kli shemelach tola isor. You don't use it to serve food in it, and you can't cook food in it. So then you shouldn't really be moving your frying pan. But on Yom Tov you're allowed to, because you're allowed to fry things on Yom Tov. You can cook on Yom Tov. Similarly, a raw piece of meat is muktzah on Shabbos because there is no utility. You can't eat it, and you can't cook it on Shabbos. But on Yom Tov it is allowed because you are allowed to cook it. Is this carte blanche heter? The answer is no, only for the mutter usage. So what's an example of that? So moving wood on Yom Tov, are you allowed to move wood on Yom Tov? The answer is yes. If you're going to move it to be using it for fuel for cooking, then it's all right. But just to pick up a piece of wood, let's say to use as a door stopper or to as a support to hold up something, that's not allowed. It's muktzah on Yom Tov. So because Yom Tov has dispensation for certain more melachos, then moving the things that relate to those melachos are going to be allowed, but in the narrow framework of being used for those mutter activities. We now turn our attention to a second concept, which is true on Shabbos as well, but is particularly has particular applications on Yom Tov, which are more complicated, and that is Nolad. Literally means Nolad means it was born. So classic case is an egg is born on Yom Tov. May you move that egg? The answer is no, because it was not designated before Shabbos, before Yom Tov came in. It only came into being on Yom Tov, therefore it's considered set aside, muktzah. One cannot be move it. One may place a container over it to protect it, but one may not move it itself. What happens if a beitza, a egg, was laid on the first day of Yom Tov in Chutz La'aretz, in the diaspora? May it be moved on the second day? The answer is yes. It may be moved on the second day of Yom Tov. This is actually the opening Mishnah in the Masechta in the Gemara called Beitza. Why is this? So we view that the 2 days of Yom Tov, the construct of the 2 days of Yom Tov, the diaspora was called Sveika de Yom. Initially, they were created as when it was unclear as to which day was going to be Yom Tov. We keep both out of that tradition. Today, it's a continual Ma'aseh Avoseinu Bi'Yadeinu, that in the diaspora, we live in a reality of that tradition of uncertainty. But that means to say, for halachic purposes, it's considered an either or, a 0-1, which means that one of the days is considered definite, the other one is exactly the same, a carbon copy of that definite, but it's still a sacred diyama, which means that therefore if it's born on the first day, it'll be allowed on the second day. because either the first day or the second day was the actual thing, the actual Yom Tov, which means that the second day, therefore, is going to be allowed in that situation. This does not apply to the first and second day of Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah operates differently in what is called a Yom Arichta. The second day of Rosh Hashanah was instituted already in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash, because of another concern about the shir, the song that would be sung on the first day of the month if the witnesses of the new moon came in late on that day, and therefore was already instituted at the times of the Beis HaMikdash, which is why it's even kept in Israel. It's not a Sfeika Diyam, it's not a binary 1001. It's viewed as an extension of the one, which is why there's no Shechianu on the second night unless you have new clothes or new fruit on Rosh Hashanah, and not the second night of Pesach or Sukkos or Shavuos. And therefore the egg, which is born on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, will always be Aser on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. It's considered the same extended day as well. What happens if one of the 2 days of Yom Tov is actually a Shabbos? In this case, it would be forbidden on the second day. And the reason is because this dispensation of either or is only when both when one or the other day is holy and one other day has the potential of having been chol. But if one of them is holy all the time, then like one of them is a Shabbos, then that no longer holds. What happens if the hen is if there's a Shabbos on either end of the Yom Tov experience? Let's say it's Shabbos Yom Tov or Yom Tov then Shabbos. Then it's the same thing is that the egg is going to be Aser is going to be prohibited for usage on that extended day. What happens if the hen was slaughtered, was shechted, and the eggs are found inside of it? So in that case, if they're fully developed, you're allowed to use them even on that day. Why is that? Then we don't say that that's nolad, we don't say that egg came into being. We say we view the egg as an organ within the chicken, and that seeing as the chicken was shechted and the meat of that chicken is allowed, the egg is considered part of that meat. May one shell nuts on Yom Tov and burn, let's say, the shells that remain? So if the nuts were eaten before Yom Tov and the shells remain, and one has a few shells, let's say lying in a bowl on the counter, one can use those for fuel on Yom Tov because one's allowed to do bishul and havara. However, the shells may not be burnt if they were shelled on Yom Tov because they came into being. They are noilad on Yom Tov as well, and they're no other utility. What about other peels, even if they're fit for animals? So let's say you peel an orange. So sometimes animals might eat an orange peel. But seeing as it's not fit for human consumption, therefore it's still considered noilad, and they are forbidden to handle, and they cannot be moved in the same way as well. If they're, let's say, on the table and it's disgusting, one can move them because in that place it's grass shall we eat perhaps. In this case, as we know with Shabbos as well, but it does have the concern of noilad. With this, we conclude some of the very fascinating applications of the halachas of muktzah as it applies itself to Yom Tov. With this, we conclude. Have a wonderful and meaningful.